FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. Phone number 884-9910. It's a fun topic right now. Wine is fun. And we have wine expert and wine growers, Kathy and Bob Russell from Nevada Grape Growers, but they also run and own the largest commercial vineyard in northern Nevada. You have a huge, how many vines is this, Kathy?
We have 6,521 vines.
And it's your happy place.
It is definitely my happy place.
Now, let's be honest. Listen, I have a huge backyard. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
I mean, I find that I'm working more than enjoying. Let's be honest here, Kathy.
I'd say it is my happy place. And when I'm outside, the day just flies by.
It goes fast.
Yeah. The only hard part is dealing with all the dust.
I haven't heard that.
Dust is really difficult. Especially we're out near Pyramid Lake.
Okay. Can't you just rinse off the grapes? It's not that simple.
Not when you grapes only come at harvest time. Then you have 9 other months that you've got to deal with the vineyard. Okay. And I didn't know when we moved here, but Nevada has a lot of wind.
Yes, you came from the Bay Area. I must be honest and say we are not really in the most friendly wine growing area. We are a huge portion desert still.
Right.
And it's a challenge.
It is a challenge, but I also am a big advocate of regenerative farming practices, and grapes take very little bit of water. So I'm not wasting that precious resource that we have.
That part is good. Well, you're also a retired school teacher. Where was that, and how long did you teach?
Ooh, 31 years, retired. I taught in California Catholic School and here at Little Flower in Reno.
And how did teaching change over those years?
Oh, wow. It became very student-focused, not teacher-focused. And it was...
Catering to students, you're saying.
Absolutely. Oh, and okay. Also bringing their cultures, their heritages, practices into the classroom.
Yeah.
Instead of teacher-led discussions, it became more student-led discussions and contributing. It also became more peer interactive, so that the students were teaching each other.
Now, I assume that's true for public schools, but you were in a private school. At the private school, this change was happening too.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. So what, Kathy, what got you into growing grapes and wine from being a teacher?
Well, Bob and I lived close to Napa. But we knew Napa in the early 70s, and we could not wait to get to Napa to visit. But that was when the wineries were in the garages. It was, you just walked up to the tasting rooms, and there was no charge to drink. And we got to interact personally with the winemakers, and we really learned to love the craft.
Yes. Now it's all big business and big, huge, double-decker buses.
Yeah.
Which you avoid when you see them in the parking lot. You go to the next winery. Now, I know a lot of people who have quit going to Napa for this reason, but I personally still love Napa. It's not gone overly crazy because it's not overbuilt. You right. go through the ranches and everything. They didn't put a bunch of fast food restaurants in between each one. Downtown Napa is a joy.
Oh, and the restaurants are fabulous.
The Bounty Hunter is a wonderful place. And some of the wineries like Duckhorn, mm-hmm. Beautiful, wonderful backyards. You get your bottle of wine, you go in the backyard and just hang out and under the umbrellas and see the wonderful scenery from there. So do you have favorite wineries to visit in Napa or anywhere else? I go to Healdsburg now more than anything. I dearly love Sonoma, too. But what are your favorite wineries to visit?
Ooh.
I know so many.
Baldacci.
I never heard of that one.
I know. Nobody does. And yet they are a treasure. It is absolutely my favorite wine. Brenda's Vineyard, anytime I'm there, I ask for it. And we started going there when their children, boys, mm-hmm. were youngsters.
Really?
And now they're grown and working there. So we're dating ourselves.
Well, tell us about your wine. And what kind of wine can you grow out there by Pyramid Lake?
More than you think.
Really?
Yes. We have Syrah. We have Merlot. We have Malbec and Cabernet Sauvignon and a new hybrid known as Petite Pearl. And the hybrid was developed at the University of Minnesota, and it loves cold weather.
Really? Because I was born in upstate New York, and we have a little winery area in the Finger Lakes.
Correct.
But it is so cold up there that the main wine that they make there is ice wine.
I just became acquainted with ice wine.
It's very sweet. It's
yes.
not my type of wine mm-mm. at all. I'm surprised you can make this variety or have those grapes up there by Pyramid Lake. That's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Frost is probably the biggest demon in northern Nevada, dealing with our late frost in April, May, last June.
Sure.
That is difficult to deal with. We use lots of techniques to keep our grapes, or the vines, alive.
I love everything grape. My favorite childhood flavor, Welch's. And no, seriously, and grape fizzies. I mm-hmm. ruined so many shirts. I actually have a hard time finding Welch's now. They just make fruit stacks now, it seems. Anyway, I apologize for bringing up Welch's. That
no.
is wrong. So where can people find your wine that is locally grown and processed?
Well, right now they can't because we just had our first harvest a year ago.
You already sold out of the past harvests? Really?
We did. We had.
I think you're keeping it to yourself in the basement. Yes, Bob, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
All right.
Our first harvest was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Our second was just this past October. Our first harvest, we had a little over 1,800 pounds. Very small harvest because our vines were only 3 years old. This year, we had more four-year-old vines than threes. And we had, 3,851 pounds. So more than doubled. And we're very excited about that. We're on the move.
Palomino wines, or vines, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell me about the class.
That
now, folks, if you love wine, check out what Kathy's going to say here.
I started 2 years ago teaching a class at TMCC, and it is on vineyard development and wine grape growing.
For all ages.
Right? All ages. And if you're a serious wine grower.
Yes, yes.
You would definitely want to attend this class. I do everything from site selection to planting, pruning techniques, all of the city, county, and state regulations, okay, including your water rights.
How can people sign up for this class?
They can sign up at epic.tmcc.edu. And the class for the coming year, Saturday, January 27th, Saturday, February 3rd, Saturday, February 17th, and on March 2nd, you spend your day out at our vineyard.
Oh, wow.
We ask, you know, answer all of your questions.
That's any tasting?
Oh, absolutely. So it's a fun day. It's a fun class. My students leave with a architectural drawing of their vineyard, including where the vines will be, meeting all the regulations.
Before you go, what's your favorite, since we can't buy your wine and in the store or anything, what's your favorite store brand of wine? Now, me, it was always BV or Renwood. Now it's Raymond's and two wineries in Healdsburg, Hafner and Arat, E-H-R-A-T. Okay. But don't join the Arat Wine Club. They don't let you quit.
Oh, I see.
Just really sneaky people.
Favorites?
Do you belong to wine clubs?
Oh, yes. Justin.
Justin. Yes, I see that in stores. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. And that's a good one to pick up.
Okay.
Justin's Sauvignon Blanc is very good. And at home, we drink a lot of their isosceles. So,
Bob, I can't picture Kathy's wild side here after she has this wine at home.
Oh, wild side.
Oh, now she's blushing.
We're not big. I mean, yeah, we drink wine almost every night, but it's not to excess.
Right.
Too, when we were younger.
Well, I love talking wine. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
I hope your wine class is a big success. It's a great thing that we have things like this now that we did not have before.
Absolutely. And think Christmas present. This would be an awesome gift to give your other half.
Okay.
All right.
Kathy and Bob. Kathy Russell from Nevada Grape Growers and Palomino Vines. I'm John Potter. Open topic next. We have another guest coming up at 11:30. Phone number 884-9910 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:19.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. True.
Hey. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter live and local. Phone number 884-9910. I see out the window that a little bit of light rain is coming down again. We had it overnight. I think it stopped around 3 o'clock in the morning at my house.
See, I'm looking out my window here, and I'm not seeing it at all.
Is it raining in Carson?
Not at all. It's overcast, but not raining. Hey, John, we did have a response to your dentist comment earlier in the first segment when you said you went into your dentist and had yellow teeth. What should I do?
What?
This dentist. Remember. This dentist says wear a brown tie.
Did I? I don't.
You were
recall.
Talking about teeth and drinking coffee or smoking.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yellow teeth and yeah. So this dentist says wear a brown tie.
Very nice. Very nice.
It'll detract from your teeth. Can't do anything about your face, but your teeth, yeah.
Yeah. The comment was, folks, my dentist asked me if I smoke or drink coffee, and I said I drink it. Sheesh. Somebody took it personally. Okay. Seriously. Come on. It's me. Okay. So anyway, back to the weather. A little light rain. I got to say, I wish the people forecasting the weather on cable TV would take it down a notch. It used to be it's going to rain. Now it's an atmospheric river. It's going to be cold out now as a polar vortex. A storm is now a bomb cyclone. Oh, dear God. I just want to forecast into facts. We try to be very local here, and this report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has a bit of Nevada news in it. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce came out with a map showing the best and worst U.S. states for job seekers. The best states for job seekers, the ones where it's easier to get work, have the lowest number of available workers for each job opening. So the state with the lowest number of available people for openings are, would you move to these places? North and South Dakota. North Dakota alone has 30,000 job openings, but only 8,466 unemployed workers. So what they have, folks, is 35 available workers for every 100 openings. The worst states for job seekers are California and New York. They each have 110 available workers for every 100 openings. Nevada, pretty close to those two. We have 98 unemployed workers for every 100 openings. Geez, I know our Nevada state government has a 20% vacancy rate, and we have the jobs out there. Nevada State Police, over 20% vacancies. Reno has jobs everywhere. I know there are openings at Tesla and Panasonic and Switch, all on USA Parkway. We have openings at stores, supermarkets, the casinos. Why is it that in this decade especially, why is it so hard to fill open jobs, not just here in Nevada, but in this country? Why are people, especially younger people, not banging down the doors to fill all these openings? Maybe companies would not have such a hard time filling jobs if employees were more valued in today's society. I'm the sort of person who, and for me, I'm speaking mainly for others who are over the age of, say, 55. I think that if you've given 20 years of your life to a place, that there ought to be some loyalty involved. Here's the deal. If you're one of the bosses, you can not want someone in a position any longer, but I think you can also go to that employee that you don't want and say, we want to do something different with you, as opposed to the door is that way. I know I live in a fantasy land, but I really long for the day when people who gave the flower of their life to an employer, that some of that affection and loyalty is returned. And I know our bosses don't owe us loyalty. They give us a paycheck, and too many of them, that should be enough. I recognize that we are, as workers, kind of engaged in a series of one-night stands, 2 weeks at a time. Okay, we're going to pay you again. You get to stay. And I've also been let go of two other jobs in my life that I identified with and loved. So I empathize with anyone else who felt like I did. But here's what I would say is just some moron on the radio here. I think our local TV news in the past did a very fine job, and it served this community very, very well. But I just hope for a better day and a better world where people who put their heart in the job for their boss are truly recognized for the sacrifice and time and heart that they put into their work and receive a bit more loyalty, like I just said, for a job well done. I'm just rambling here, but working hard for little pay just because I love the job is just how I'm wired. I've always wanted to find one place where I can live and stay and build myself up with one broadcaster in my community as opposed to jumping around. It's a commitment. It's a commitment from the worker, and I think it's a good way to do business. It's not the only way to do business, but it's a good way to do business. And 20 years at one TV station, I clearly wanted to do the same thing. It's just how I'm wired. But I'm speaking for everybody else who feels a bit discarded. And I'll say it again. I long for the day when people who gave the heart and soul of their life to an employer, that some of that affection and loyalty is returned. And that, I think, may be why in today's day and age, why many companies are having a hard time finding people right now. And I'm speaking mainly for, again, my brethren who are over 55 years old. We're going to break for Fox News. Our next guest is up, and we'll take calls on that, too, on jiu-jitsu. Yes. Yes, we are. And it's local, too. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1130.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. On these radio stations, and two topics, our phone lines are open, two topics we are taking calls on right now are jiu-jitsu and homeless veterans. I'll tell you why a little bit later, but Gary Great is connected to both. He's our guest for this segment. Gary runs and owns Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academies in Carson City, Fernley, and Reno. Gary is a native Nevadan. Former state wrestling champion from Wooster High and an Air Force veteran and all-around good guy from my quick conversation with you. Gary, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, John, thank you. It's glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that jiu-jitsu was a very big thing when I was a kid, and it's still a very popular way to get in shape. Personally, how did you first get into jiu-jitsu, and why do you love it so much?
Well, basically, I wrestled most of my life growing up through high school and stuff. Yeah. The original UFC back in 1993, when that had come out, I knew some of the wrestlers that were involved in that event, and watching the Gracie family and what they were doing kind of got me into it. As a wrestler, it was kind of a natural progression.
How is it different from other martial sports like karate?
Well, most martial arts are based on a striking system. Jiu-jitsu kind of encompasses everything. It's basically stand-up, clinch, and ground. You're stand-up striking, you're clinching your takedowns and wrestling. And
you're
such.
Striking?
Punching, kicking.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Yep. And then about 80% of it's more close-quarter groundwork.
I heard there's a lot of choking.
Yep, a lot of choking, basically. There's kind of an old saying, it doesn't really matter how big you are, how strong you are, what drugs you're on, whatever. When your brain runs out of blood, you're going down, so...
So, okay, so we got a lot of holding, grappling, and floor pinning, and choke holds, and striking. And now here's the weird thing to me, and jiu-jitsu, translated, is gentle art?
Yeah,
you have to explain that.
Yeah, it means the easy way, or the gentle way, or the gentle art. It's basically kind of taking the size and strength curve out of it. Not that that doesn't, apply or help, for sure. But you're able to see, like a 120-pound person take on a, 200-300-pound person and be able to, get the better of them, if that makes sense.
Well, it's not too rough, I guess, for kids, right? I mean, you take what ages at your Brazilian jiu-jitsu academies?
Oh, we started age 4. So
started age 4 with the choking and the striking and the stuff?
Well, most of the kids do... We tune that down a little bit with them, but the kids, we have classes broken down from 4 to 8, and then like a 9 to 14 age group, And then we have some all ages classes where the kids all get to train together with the families and the parents and such too as well. So
I got to ask you this: do they still do, or do you still teach when you teach jujitsu to the kids? Do you still teach them to do the bowing and the handshaking with their opponents before and after a match?
Yeah, certainly. We have the
I love that.
The respect and the all that is still there. Yeah, for the kids especially.
That.
Especially, yeah.
A sport with true courtesy, bowing and handshaking with your opponents before and after a match.
Yeah, we have. There's not a lot of bowing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I mean, there's some of the traditional stuff that can go on, but for the most part, like Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, that and most traditional martial arts, there's a lot of that. There's a lot less of the formalities, I guess you would say, but the respect levels and stuff are still certainly there. I mean, we have a lot of kids that, you know, parents that bring their kids in for that specific reason.
I've heard of Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, but not Brazilian. That's totally new to me. What's the difference?
Everything kind of all started from the same place. I mean, most martial arts, you know, whether it was India and Asia, and then started filtering out from there. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu started from basically Japanese Jiu-Jitsu in the original forms of Judo. When it came to Brazil, the Hélio Gracie and the Gracie family basically took their original form and kind of worked out the kinks, if that makes sense, and basically tightened it up and made it better. I mean, made it.
Can you tell the difference by watching it if that this is Brazilian and this is Japanese? I mean,
yeah, for sure. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, the Japanese jiu-jitsu is more, for lack of a better term, I would say judo kind of became the sport aspect, and the Japanese jiu-jitsu is kind of still the art aspect of it. And the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Gracie jiu-jitsu, has become like the combat version of it and the self-defense version of it.
Well, overall for jiu-jitsu, I know that Joe Rogan has a belt. It's a black belt, I think.
Yep.
And there's a tie between jiu-jitsu and the UFC, right?
Yeah, the Gracie family actually started the original UFCs. They sold it off a ways back, but
UFC is more fisticuffs, right? It's not jiu-jitsu.
Well, that's what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is. Yeah, I mean it's
okay.
It's designed for real life street fighting and self defense. You know, I mean that's what it's designed for. So there is fundamental striking and fundamental clinch and takedowns, and then like I said, about 80% of it I would say is mostly on the ground. The UFC kind of is what made it popular when Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was beating most other martial arts. You know, beating other martial arts and beating. And now it's become an entire fight. You know, everybody's training and everything, so it's kind of, you know.
And here's a really cool thing, kids. Keanu Reeves does jiu-jitsu in John Wick, right?
Yep,
that's jiu-jitsu right there, what he does.
Yep. Yeah, he actually trains with a friend of mine down in California there, so.
So, okay, so the reason you're here, not so much to talk about your Brazilian jiu-jitsu academies in Carson City, Fernley, and Reno, but you are hosting an annual clothing drive for homeless veterans this coming Friday, which is Black Friday, right?
Yep.
Black Friday. So I guess you figure that there's going to be a lot of people coming around, driving around on Black Friday, and you are collecting clothing for homeless veterans. What prompted this, and what clothing are you looking for?
Well, basically, we've been probably the last 12 or 13 years, we always try on Black Friday, usually that Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, you've done this before?
Yeah, we've been doing it about 12, 13 years, actually back to back. But we usually do, we used to work with Evelyn Mount, and we would do a food drive, you know, canned food drive and such. I'm a veteran. I was in the active duty Air Force and the Air Guard for 8 years, and then so that's kind of a little more close to home for me, helping the veterans out. The Veterans Guest House, which is right over by the VA here in Reno, we've contacted them, and last year we did food, and then this year they told us that they were pretty stocked up on food, but this year they're looking for new socks and new or gently used and nice condition jackets and coats. So that's what we're going to do this year.
At all locations?
No, we're basically, I own the Reno and the Carson location, and then the Fernley is an affiliate of mine. It's run by a guy named Michael Borden. He and his family run that. Great guys out there, mm-hmm. if you're in the Fernley area. Takes care of that. It's Liberty Fitness and the Fernley location. They're all basically coming together and doing it at one location.
Okay, we'll have so specifically, what locations for the homeless veterans clothing drive? What locations?
It'd be 1335 Aeromotive Way. It's right over across the street from the airport, and that's our Reno location. If you go on the website, it's bjjreno.com. There's a map and website and everything on there as well. Okay. But we'll have tubs and buckets out and stuff all day for clothing, and then the next week we'll run them over by the veterans guest
house. That's so cool of you. Of course, you're a veteran yourself. I was told, Gary, that our community has many helpful resources for homeless veterans. I hear that our community has their back, whether it's the VA hospital or what. Is that true?
As far from what I've heard, same. Our VA here has been exceptional to me.
There are programs for veterans, homeless veterans, if they're veterans, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah, I've heard this several times as well. I don't know specifically on what the programs are.
But money is always tight for people, especially at older age and everything. So I get the clothing drive reasoning behind here and how important it is for the people who sacrificed for our country.
Yeah, we try to give back to the community every year, and this is usually the day we pick to do it. I'm just glad the Veterans Guest House, you know, reached out to us again to let us know what they were looking for this year. So,
how much of a fun atmosphere is this going to be when people drop off their clothes to your location at Aeromotive Drive on Friday?
It's pretty fun. We have a TV going in there, and you know, bleachers, and everybody hanging out. And some people come in or just drinking coffee and hanging out. We have an open mat going at the same time. It'll be from 1 to 3 p.m.
An open mat?
Yeah, basically the mat's open for any of our students or any students from other academies will all come in. They'll just get together and just roll just so the gym stays open, you know, while we're there. So.
Oh, that'd be a cool thing to see.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Anybody's welcome to come by. So we have people.
What hours on Friday?
Be 1 to 5, 1 p.m. Or sorry, 1 to 3, 1 to 3 p.m.
1 to 3. And what specific clothing items are homeless veterans most in need of?
This year, they've informed us they're looking for new-only socks. A lot of socks, I guess, is a big deal, something we take for granted. And jackets, coats and jackets. They're looking for new or in very good condition jackets. So they're not
awesome, good. Gary. That's a really – anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me, and thanks for the support.
Give me a jujitsu greeting or thing that you say.
We say os.
What's that?
Os.
Os!
Yeah.
Os! Okay. Gary Great, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy in Carson City, Fernley, and Reno, and the Homeless Veterans Clothing Drive coming up in the Reno location, Aeromotive Drive. That's off Longley, right?
Aeromotive Way. No, it's right across the street here from the
station. Oh, that one. Aeromotive Way. Yes.
Yep.
All right, Gary. Good deed you're doing there, my friend. And thanks for coming out. Hope you have a big success with it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, Gary. I'm John Potter. Going to take a break. Our final segment up next, Open Topic, 884-9910 is our number on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1148.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Oh, hey, welcome back, my friends. John Potter, been an interesting show. Phone lines open for this final segment, 884-9910. Just repeating some of the things that we started off with at 9 o'clock this morning, and that is the events going on today. For Christmas, the holidays, tonight from 6 to 8 is the tree lighting for Midtown Reno. I'm looking at the ad for this online. It is it's not a Christmas tree. It's just a tree lighting. And at Meadowood, it's a holiday Santa. And, of course, Starbucks, they have a holiday Red Cup. Does any company business say Christmas anymore? If you know of one, by all means, let me know. I know the El Dorado does for their show where we had the performers on with us earlier today, the Christmas on Ice show, which starts on Tuesday at the El Dorado. And these performers come from all over the country, world, I should say. We talked to a skater from Canada was in the studio. So this show starts on Tuesday. They're going to be away from their families to entertain in the show because there are two shows Christmas Eve, show on Christmas Day, but they're going to be daily starting on Tuesday, Tuesday evening. Get your tickets at Caesars.com. They start at just $27. It's going to be a great show. And if you're new to Reno, this is a traditional thing with the El Dorado. They do a Christmas show in a great little intimate showroom. So if you bring the kids, they're kind of up close to the singers and skaters. It's really something special. It's one of the most wonderful things about living in Reno. It's going to be an interesting Thanksgiving next week. Not the same. Everybody's going to be on their phone or on Ozempic. And also in the news, in the RGJ this morning, the DMV is blaming for their long lines and long, long wait times. They say one out of two people don't show up for their appointments. If that's true, I think it'd be better for all of us if they just went back to the daily walk-ins, wouldn't you think? If this is not working out, if it's true, 50% of people do not show up for their appointments at the DMV. So, folks, it's our fault. Honestly, just a terrible system. They don't answer the darn phone. What else did we talk about today? Tonight is the night in Las Vegas, the Formula One Grand Prix race on the Strip takes place very late, actually. I heard of a couple of bars, I think, are going to have it televised. I don't know what channel this is on. But the race is very late. It's at 10 o'clock tonight down the Strip, partly on the Strip. Now, I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal, and this is what they read. It's kind of funny. The 3.8-mile track, which has been compared to the outline of an upside-down pig, is a combination of long straights where drivers will exceed 210 miles per hour and low speed corners. Well, good wishes to our southern half for a successful run there. I can't wait to see them take down all those bleachers and everything on the Strip, blocking things like the volcano and such by the Mirage and such. I mean, it's just crazy to me. But I do remember back in the day in Las Vegas, early 80s, when we had the Mint 500. Anybody, any other old-timers out there remember that? That was fun. Actually, a couple of Hollywood movies. You can see it on those. So, anyway, Craig, anything I missed? No, I'm perfect today. I think he's
well, busy. Maybe not so much perfect. But I did have one clarification. Yes. That dentist joke was courtesy of Rodney Dangerfield.
Was it really? I knew
yeah,
I heard it somewhere.
I went to the dentist and my teeth were yellowing. And he says, wear a brown tie.
Well, that's a different joke.
It's the same. Very simply the
no,
same.
No, it's nowhere near
you went
near
for
the same,
having yellow teeth and he asked you, do you drink coffee or smoke? And you drink it.
Well, the dentist said, do you... drink coffee. Let me think now. What was the wording? You see, I was.
Do you smoke cigarettes or drink coffee?
Yes. No. The dentist asked me if I smoke or drink coffee. I said I drink it. Now that is nowhere near the brown tie joke. Come on here.
Well, the yellow teeth.
I think I got a John Potter original here. I think the brown tie one is Rodney Dangerfield, my friend. Okay.
Well, that's what I said. That's why I made a clarification. Is the Rodney Dangerfield is brown tie.
Okay. Got it. Anything else I missed?
No, but I was looking at that map for the race in Vegas, and yes, it does look like an upside down pig.
This race is just like cursed almost. I mean, didn't they notice that it looks like an upside down pig when they made this route? And didn't they check the road before the $1 million Ferrari drove over the concrete drain cover exposure? They'll get it right next time. But this year, and the drivers, the F1, the Formula One drivers, apparently from this Wall Street Journal article I read, hate the whole thing so far. They have them stand up there on a stage, and the drivers, one driver said he felt like a clown there in Las Vegas. But like I said, very good, honest, sincere wishes to our southern half for a successful run there. I support all of Nevada so much that I only travel in Nevada and spend my money in Nevada. So I do hope it's a success. Anyway, we reached the end of our show. Been fun. Thank you to the guests for appearing. It was a joy. It's always the highlight of my week. I do appreciate you folks for being out there and remembering who I am. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, and I will join you again next Saturday morning starting at 9 a.m. on 99.1, 92.3. FM News Talk Time, 11:58. Fox News is next. Bye-bye.